iRadio TT presents Why We Need to See the New Strategic Plan for Music, Part 2, published on April the 29th, 2020. This audio narration was recorded for readers of this blog. In this time of COVID-19, music stakeholders have time to recount, to reform, and to rebuild. It is also a time to remember and recalibrate. The road to recovery must be made clear with information to guide. The enabling environment must be open and fair. Everyone has a job to do. As I noted in part one of this series on strategic plans and the importance of a unified vision, this piece will continue with an analysis of how a sustained pattern of suppression of information by all, on the one hand, and willful state competition with the private sector has made for very incremental movements within the sector. Data deficiencies. A recurring theme in a number of research papers written on the creative industries in Trinidad and Tobago and the wider Caribbean has been the lack of data. We already know that the Ministry of Trade and Industry, in its own 2016 to 2020 strategic plan, was aware of this data shortfall. Its internal SWOT analysis reads, among its weaknesses, quote, insufficient emphasis placed on gathering data for evidence-based decision-making, unquote. Among the strategies to transform performance and service delivery at the ministry is supposed to be the development and implementation of research systems to gather and analyze data of the sector. Ironically, another of the weaknesses identified in that SWOT analysis is, quote, lengthy delays in the implementation of policy decisions, unquote. Let that sink in 2020. Since 2004, researchers at agencies such as the IADB had noted that, quote, unfortunately, the scarcity of reliable surface data, the result of a deficient system of data collection and dissemination in the country, severely limits the scope of analysis on services trade, unquote. One has to consider that with this history of reporting on the lack of usable data, that successive governments in the 21st century would be looking to erase the past and forge new strategies and policies that put the industry in a position to compete globally. Attempts have been made over the years to develop systems for more efficient data collection and distribution, but to no avail. Economic researcher Ralph Henry et al. Posited in the early 2000s, quote, there are very little hard data on incomes, and the domestic service providers are not well identified in the official statistics. The direct income to musicians and entertainers has been estimated at US $2 million, and the indirect income could be 10 times that figure. However, these estimates are very notional, and while based on informed calculations of one of the researchers, may be subject to considerable error. Thus, the contribution to national income and the size of the sector remain an area of speculation. Between 2006 and 2017, three strategic plans were crafted and or approved for implementation to guide the state agencies, and by extension, to guide the music and wider creative and entertainment industry in Trinidad and Tobago. The first one was the 2006 to 2011 Strategic Plan for the Entertainment Industry, presented by the Music and Entertainment Industry Team of the Standing Committee on Business Development. The second one is the 2012 to 2017 Strategic Plan for TTENT, presented by Vernon Barrett of Newer Worlds. And the third one, the Strategic Plan to Develop a Vibrant, Sustainable and Economically Prosperous Music Industry in Trinidad and Tobago, for 2017 to 2022, presented by Sound Diplomacy of the UK. Please note that an operational plan extracted from the strategic plan was developed. All elements of the plan could not be activated simultaneously because of the budgetary shortfalls and low resource allocation to Music TT. But four elements of the strategic plan were exposed to the public during a national stakeholder engagement in 2017. All three plans speak to a dearth of official data. However, it's not all licks for the state in the development of data collection systems. From the 2006 plan, we read, quote, resources for the collection of primary data was somewhat limited since there has not been a tradition of formal statistical data collection for the entertainment industry in Trinidad and Tobago. To date, it is difficult to determine the number of persons employed, the number of cultural enterprises within each sector, revenues earned within each sector, as well as foreign exchange earnings generated by these industries. In addition, there was unwillingness from some artists and cultural practitioners to participate in the music and entertainment industry team consultations, unquote. From the 2012 plan, we read, quote, it should be noted that recent quantitative research on the entertainment sector in Trinidad and Tobago is virtually non-existent, so baseline data for most of the subsectors in question is unavailable, unquote. Finally, from the 2017 plan, we sadly read, quote, the unwillingness to supply information on music business activity has been counterproductive to collecting reliable data for the domestic industry. The completion of previous studies proves there is evidence of the existence of suitable data to calculate the revenues generated by the local industry, but such data was not available for analysis in this project. Previous reports on the music industry of Trinidad and Tobago have not been able to have a systematic approach to obtaining industry statistics, possibly due to the lack of transparency from their sources, unquote. Workarounds and guesstimates have been used to map our local industry for too long, even as recently as 2017. Sound Diplomacy noted that no recent study on Trinidad and Tobago's industry has been conducted, and much of the required data isn't tracked. The global study was compared to Trinidad and Tobago's industry as depicted by a more focused 2006 study and the results of multiple surveys. Current chairman of Creative TT, Calvin Bijou, speaks on this data deficiency to the Public Accounts Enterprises Committee on April 2019.
There are a couple things which we need to do. First, we need to baseline where we are in terms of how much is really being captured. Secondly, to make sure that we have the type of reporting mechanisms to be able to determine where statistically we can capture that. So we are stymied in our efforts in terms of where we would like to, what we are doing in terms of some of these strategic initiatives. But I must admit that the data collection integrity to some extent is where we are challenged. And sadly speaking, it is outside of our purview to be able to just from a resourcing point of view, handle that. But that is our strategic objective, to get metrics around what the Creative TT's mandate should be in terms of a quantifiable contribution to the national economy.
This data deficiency has put the local industry in a state of limbo or possible decline for decades. In 2006, an entertainment industry survey conducted by the Ministry of Trade and Industry estimated the annual revenue of the music industry at $169,465,606. In 2017, Sound Diplomacy estimated the 2016 total industry revenue at $76,582,400. The state and the stakeholders have to get on the same page sooner rather than later to fix this revenue decline trend. Quote, today, a growing share of musical output is being produced by small firms or individuals with a much greater diversity in styles, quality, and business models. The lack of standardization makes it hard to summarize and measure how the industry as a whole is doing, which leads people to underestimate how much music is being produced and how much money is being earned, unquote. The quote just read from an old Forbes magazine article of 2012 by Timothy B. Lee still has relevance and resonance here in Trinidad and Tobago because of the structure and the small size of the local industry and its ad hoc progress and management for all the years of existence, which makes for apt comparisons. It also leads to a follow-up on the idea of stakeholders all being aligned, informed, and willing to provide information to allow for the expansion of the local music industry. Conflict, competition, and communication. We learn from the final draft of the Sound Diplomacy 2017 to 2022 Music Strategic Plan that, quote, after the strategic plan for the entertainment industry of Trinidad and Tobago 2006 to 2011 was completed in 2006, the music industry has been left without a clear development strategy with which to move forward, unquote. However, we also learned that the Newer World's 2012 to 2017 plan, according to the administrative plan for TTN 2011 to 2012, quote, was approved by the board and accepted by the Ministry of Trade and Industry in September 2012, unquote. Further, in the Creative Industries Company outline presented to industry stakeholders in March 2013, we read that no overall plan for the creative industry currently exists, but a draft strategic plan for the music and entertainment subsector for the period 2013 to 2017 has been submitted to the Ministry of Trade and Industry for consideration, which would be modified in an effort to ensure that it fits within the policy framework for the creative industries. The question to be asked in this bundle of conflicting information is, was the Newer Worlds strategic plan ever implemented? That 2012 Newer Worlds plan presented to guide the previous state-owned enterprise, TTN, the agency that promoted cultural diffusion and investment in cultural affairs, defined four key goals for TTN to benefit the creative sector. 1. To develop locally. 2. To promote globally. 3. To invest wisely. And 4. To facilitate cost effectively. By 2013, TTN was no more and Creative TT was born. We subsequently heard that Creative TT has, to date, been without an overall strategic plan and a number of subsector plans were created or revamped. At the Public Accounts Enterprises Committee meeting on April 2019, it was disclosed in the Creative TT's written submissions to the committee that the cost to develop a strategic plan specific to music was $804,775. A look at Creative TT's consolidated financial statements as at September 30, 2017 and at September 30, 2018 confirms PSIP funds expended for the strategic plan being $120,000 in 2016, $481,103 in 2017, and $200,003 in 2018, giving a total of $801,106. Assuming some overflow into fiscal 2020, we are aware that almost $1 million was spent over 3 years to create a plan for Music TT and the industry, and the ministry has not approved its full implementation, and worse yet, approved its full release, save for four elements that have not moved the industry forward. Public-private collaborations in the years of the current administration, 2015 onwards, are in the context of initiatives that seemingly need to show a socially profitable ROI or major financial cost containment and would become projects that looked internally, favoring grand collaborations with the City of Port of Spain, for instance. What became clear in this new iteration was the creation of initiatives that were in direct conflict with a free market approach to the business of music here. The live music district, explored elsewhere, has proven not to be in the same league as a music city, so widely promoted by sound diplomacy. The admission of a subsidy for artists performing in the LMD, the live music district, runs counter to a music industry here, which operates with the capitalist tenets of value for money, profit and loss, and supply and demand. The chairman of Creative TT, Calvin Bijou, and the general manager of Music TT, Melissa Jimenez, explained the functioning of the live music district to the Public Accounts Enterprises Committee.
We are embarking on the live music district, and for those of us who may not be familiar with it, the live music district is really a best practice in terms of music districts in a lot of the first world places. So we've concluded phase one, and we're actually in phase two with regard to that. And primarily what we've been doing in phase one is that we have been subsidizing the performers when they go to the Hyatts, Smokey and Bunty's, live on the Arpita Avenue, etc. But we are viewed now with certain suspicion where, even though in our observations, whenever we have those artists performing in some of those private sector types, they are able to attract more patrons. When we go now to say, all right, we would like to wean ourselves off of paying the subsidies such that the private sector would be able to pay for them, the first question they would ask is, to some extent, well, we don't have the funds. And we could say, for example, well, we did see during periods of when we having them that more patrons appear to be there. But we are viewed to some extent with a certain suspicion regarding revenues around that. You wanted to?
Yeah, just to make a short intervention here. Subsidizing artists to perform?
Yeah.
How does that really work? I mean, just from my own genuine
understanding. Okay, so... I asked my GM music to just give an example.
Sure. So, Santa Hines, we have
in real world. How does that work?
Well, for us, we have a subsidized system in terms of whether you're a soloist, we pay X amount of dollars. If you are a duet, a trio, so we have a tiered system in terms of what we offer. It is the artist's responsibility now to say, okay, I'm going to Smokey and Bunty, and Music TT is giving you this amount subsidized. It is up to them now to negotiate the rest of their time and the rest of their wages with the venues. Most of the soloists don't. Some of them do, but that's up to them in terms of what they consider their value for money.
A company is hosting an event.
Right.
And the company approaches Creative TT to say, we would like an artist here, and we would like you to subsidize that artist's presence at my function. I'm asking, is that how it works?
Okay.
No, they're all public venues, Senator, and what happens is that we have gathered an interest in terms of all these venues who would like to be part of the Live Music District universe.
Specifically about
live, yes, oh, for no, the Live Music District.
That's fine.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
sorry.
What I'm saying. Yeah. So we give the seed capital so that the performing artist has some sort of like money to make sure they get to and from the venue. So if they perform for, say, 10 minutes in different tiers, as my GM music just said, you are given pretty much a little bit of a stipend. But beyond that, if the audience wants you to perform because you're so good in terms of it, which is the way it works internationally, all right? But we are trying to get people weaned away from the subsidies and have, therefore, the private sector collaboration in terms of you now paying the artist because you could go live and check, I want an R&B artist, I want a soul, I want a soca artist, for half an hour for the night. But we are not prepared, and neither are we funded, to pay for the entire cost of when it is that they are performing. So it's intended to be a private sector, public sector collaborative effort. That's where the subsidies come in.
A sojourn to South by Southwest in 2015 by a group selected from an open call and Creative TT officials with a determined attitude to be hands-off with a private sector TNT contingent sponsored by the Ministry of Arts and Multiculturalism stood out as a sore thumb once returns on investments added up to only a 45-minute video of an informal panel discussion and reminiscences without knowledge transfer. That video was very recently uploaded to YouTube by the videographer. Please note. The lunacy of the denial of public sector internecine warfare, quote-unquote, between ministries seeking the interests of creative stakeholders runs counter to the reality of the funding for development and the claims of achievements by policymakers. The recent Green Paper on the National Policy on Culture and the Arts clearly defines that cultural industries are a subset of creative industries. Two ministries, one goal. Go figure. That's a topic for another discussion. We have seen over the years of the existence of Music TT a decreasing amount of PSIP dollars for projects. We have seen budget allocation of over 2.5 times more going to the Culture Ministry with a nearly similar PSIP ratio. With the current drop in the revenue to the government predicated on the COVID-19 economic shock and world gas and oil prices moving lower, the allocations may be lower still. One reads in the 2019 PSIP document that in fiscal 2019, Music TT focuses on the two main strategic areas proposed within the draft strategic action plan for the music industry of Trinidad and Tobago. These areas are the business and value chain development and international promotion and export activities. For nearly $1 million, not much was achieved on that front. Yet, the Minister of Finance in the 2019 to 2020 budget tries to put a favorable spin on the industry by saying,
creative industries, Madam Speaker, CARIFESTA 14, hosted by Trinidad and Tobago, underscored the strides we have made in the expansion of our creative industries. Trinidad and Tobago is creating a pool of local artists through the live music districts, which have been held at 58 participating venues throughout Port of Spain and its environs. We have witnessed 537 performances, and the live music district was featured as part of CARIFESTA 14.
We were promised 700 performances at 31 venues in the 12-week pilot project phase from March to June of 2018. never achieved. Minister Imbert's statement on the industry thus becomes vapid bombast. The identified weakness of the ministry's, quote, lengthy delays in the implementation of policy decisions, unquote, known since 2016, should not be status quo in post-COVID-19 economic recovery. As noted in part one of this series, a music task force, independent, cohesive, and inclusive, was presented as a favored option to move the strategic plan for the music industry forward. The recalcitrance displayed by policymakers and the public sector in dismissing international ingenuity, nearly $1 million worth, in favor of local mediocrity, has repercussions that are laid bare by the resulting industry revenue figures. Also noted in part one of the series, the minister queried on how the private sector was different, bold, and innovative. An enabling environment of trust and transparency would yield answers. The ideas collated from the input of private sector stakeholders have been the backbone of strategic plans since 2006. They are adequate public investment and fiscal responsibility in the sector for development, legislative changes and new policy initiatives to keep pace with evolving trends, and infrastructure development and adaptation. Those plans implemented collaboratively are the bulwark against the inertia of an overworked public sector system that should be working to benefit the nation. The holistic strategic planning in 2006 has deteriorated today into an us-and-them effort of implementation. Make the strategic plan for the music industry available and let the stakeholders, both public and private, collectively and similarly informed, accelerate music industry growth.